First, I would like to say good afternoon, everybody. We're glad to be here this afternoon. I brought you greetings all the way from Tallahassee, Florida. I would like to say I don't want to be like one time the minister told a young lady one time, said, don't want to let me eat before I preach. Let me preach while I eat, because if I do, I won't do nothing. So he preached and he got through. The lady said, yes, what's the age before you got through? So I don't want to be like that by singing. I better go ahead and sing. Anyway, we'd like to move on off your beautiful number that I recorded when I was in Washington last year. This number asking you a question. Have I given anything today? Have I given my bed? Let me go down and take my rest. Come on and let me write my name with the blessing today. Anything today. You know, I don't know about you this afternoon, but one of these days, it ain't gonna be long. We going home to meet our Maker. You know, it pays us to treat everybody right. Because one of these days, we gonna cross the River of the Jordan. And we don't want to have to be trying to cross it alone. I like to move on with a lot of number here. Trust you're going to enjoy this. Jordan River, I'm bound to cross. Jordan River, I'm bound to cross. Jordan River, I'm bound to cross. You know, Jordan River, I'm bound to cross. I got one more my mother, she gonna be waiting. She can't help me to crawl. Mother, she be waiting out there. She can't help me to crawl. You know, mother, she be waiting. She can't help me to crawl. I got one more river to grow, Lord God. Listen, you know my father, he be waiting on me. He gonna help me to crawl. Father, he be waiting. He can't help me to crawl. You know, Father, he be waiting. He can't help me to crawl. I got one more river to grow. One of these days, take my hair. Listen to this. One of these days, got to go down there. Can't crawl by myself. Jesus, he be waiting. He's gonna help me to grow. Jesus, he be waiting. He's gonna help me grow. You know Jesus, he be waiting. He's gonna help me grow. I got one more river to grow. Just a river I'm bound to grow. Just a river I'm bound to grow. You know, just a river I'm bound to grow. I got one more river to grow. Thank you. I got one more river to cross. We'd like to make an announcement on tomorrow at 9:45. All the way from Tallahassee will be my whole group, the Gospel Travelers. We want you to come out here. I'd like to do my final number of the evening. And I'd like to dedicate this number to the whole song festival and the one that's sponsoring this festival. This number, I trust you enjoy it. Very beautiful number. I recorded it in Washington, D.C. last year. Hope you'll enjoy it. After this life is over down here, when you get through working down here, you want your crown. After toiling and being drove about, serving the Lord up here off after a while. Serving God. Oh. Serving God, oh, pay off after a while. Sometime I'm right, sometime I'm wrong, but I hope someday I can overcome. Serving God, hey, gonna pay off. Oh, after a while. Listen, working for Jesus, oh, pay off after a while. With Jesus, oh, pray on. radio. But oh, I got to meet my mighty God, serving the Lord. We'll pay all after a while.
That was beautiful and highly appropriate. Let's give him another hand, please. That lovely Indian lady who stepped up here on the stage just then is worried to death. Her name is Minnie Doctor, and her little boy is 5 years old, and he's wearing red pants, white shirt, long sleeve with pictures on it, and she's lost him. And if you have seen a little Indian boy, please go over there. I know she's over in the crafts area right over here. Please lead that child to her. This is very important. I know she's worried. We hope that you'll visit over with the craftsmen. They are demonstrating and selling, and there are demonstrators only down in the area of the old stage, down there under those funeral tents. But what they're doing is not funereal. It might be, because there are many passing old ways that are being demonstrated down there. The canoe builder, the Indian canoe builder, is down there chopping out a dugout canoe, and that certainly is a passing way. The cigar rollers down there, net makers, a spinner, a weaver, quilters, a tatter who has tatted, can tat beautiful trimming such as I have on my dress today that was done by a marvelous Florida tatter about 10 years ago. So go down there and visit with them and talk to them, and maybe they'll inspire you to take up and preserve one of the rapidly passing arts of our state, our nation. And now let's get back to that water witcher. Our water witcher today is here for the first time. His name is Don Thompson. He and his wife, Carolyn, are here not only as dowsers, but also as herb growers. They have a booth over here from which they are displaying and selling herb literature and dowsing rods, and they'll show you how to use these dowsing rods. But right now, Don's going to come and talk to you a little bit about his art. Don Thompson.
Good This is just to hold my dousing rods as I show you and perhaps demonstrate how they're used. Dousing as an art is 3,000 to 5,000 years old at least. It was used by the Egyptians, though some books say they seldom, if ever, used it for finding water. They found other people. They found, in some cases, criminals. In some cases, they found other lost articles. For instance, if a plane today has crashed in a thickly wooded area, it may be impossible to see it from the air because it's covered over with trees. But someone with a dousing rod has frequently found a plane that was not visible by riding over it as a passenger in another plane and finding an indication by the dousing rod turning down with a strong, steady pull that can't easily be resisted. They found the plane, the wreckage, and in some cases recovered either people or bodies. Their oldest dousing rod was a branch from a tree, a forked branch. This is one I cut a few weeks ago. Some prefer citrus wood. Some prefer other hardwood. Anything can be used, any branch that's a proper shape. This one is called a Y rod because of its shape when you turn it upside down. To use it, though, you hold it in this manner with thumbs outward. I have to stand a little away to demonstrate. When I turn through a circle or part of a circle, it will indicate where a dome is located. Now, an underwater stream is called a vein. The convergence of several veins, in this case five separate veins, into one dome, which may be 6 or 8 feet in diameter. At this point, there's more water than you'll ever find in the separate veins, and I'll show you by using this rod where a dome can be found and how far distant it is and how much water there is in it. It's in that direction. The number of feet I won't go through because I did it yesterday is 263 feet by rod measurement from here, and that means it's up the hill. I know where it is. It's a foot from a stump there, a tree stump that was cut quite a while ago, I imagine. It's 180 feet deep to water level, and 110 gallons per minute is flowing at this dome. One of the veins from this dome goes up through the building where the new well is. There's a little brown shed covering the well, and the pump in there is a half-horse pump which can only pump 5 gallons a minute. However, there are 33 gallons in this particular vein. It might be the strongest vein of all, but it's a good one. If they don't need more than 5 gallons a minute, there's no use having a 5-gallon pump. I mean, a 25-gallon pump or a 50-gallon pump. Five's enough. I can find the next nearest dome, which I haven't tried to find from here, by going through the same exercise with this nylon rod. This is a small one. I have a larger nylon rod. The next nearest dome is in this direction. From up the hill where our booth is, the next nearest dome is farther away in this direction, but it varies from point to point. There are other things you can do with dousing rods besides finding people and planes. You can find underground deposits of metal ores. You can find oil, not as easily as water. Those who douse more often find water than any other substance, and it is perhaps the most useful, particularly in dry areas. But there are these many other uses. The most prominent douser I've ever known of was Henry Gross, about whom 3 books was written by author Kenneth Roberts. These books were written in the 50s, and I have copies of them if any of you are interested enough to see them. I have on display the jackets, which frequently tell more than the books unless you read them. But you could come and see them at the booth, and also all the kinds of dousing rods. Another good kind that I like very much is the brass rod. For these, I buy Weller's, at Weller's Supplies, brazing rods. They're 3 feet long. I cut a little off and bend a right angle, and they're used in a different manner slightly. You hold them up this way, close, and turn. I'll turn through an arc, and they'll point to the same dome that I found before. They cross over, and they will also tell you the distance from here to there, how much water is there, and many other things about it. All this is good drinking water. We seldom douse for salt water or for any other kind, but you can, and it will work. But you don't find what you're not looking for. If you're looking for a vein, you don't find a dome. If you're looking for a dome, you don't find a vein. And you can find the direction of veins flowing and how much is in it and how deep. So there are many useful facts you could find. A variation on the L-rod is to make one from coat hangers, which is what these are made from. They work just as well. In fact, the only thing I know that doesn't work well for me or for other people who tried it is a rod made of aluminum rod. They are slow, sluggish, very unresponsive, but they do find the right answer if you give them time. We have these to demonstrate. You're welcome to come and use any or all that you want. We have some books on dousing, which are sold not at a profit, but at the printed cost marked on the book, which is what anyone can buy them for. By the way, there is a Society of Dousers with almost 2,000 members. Many of them are in New England, where dousing is perhaps the most popular. It's the place where it's most popular. Probably half the wells in New England have been found by dousers, the spots to drill them. Henry Gross found 2,300 in a row, and he missed none at all. No false findings. He tried oil, and his percentage went down to 40%, according to the book about him that I have. This is not bad, though, when you consider that a seismograph crew doesn't average more than 40% on a Wildcat well either. And Henry Gross could do it a lot cheaper, a lot quicker, and therefore better than a seismograph crew could. That's all I have to say. If you want to ask questions or discuss dousing more or see some books, come by the booth. Be glad to see you.
Here's another little message. Steve Cooper, come meet Charles Hill at the tower. We have certainly enjoyed having this next performer with us, Don Grooms of Gainesville. Don was born and raised in the hills between Cherokee and Waynesville, North Carolina. I'm about one quarter Cherokee and three-fourths writer, so I write a lot of songs about Indians. He's been a news reporter for newspapers, radio, and TV before coming to teach at the University of Florida. He performs at many festivals, clubs, judges old-time fiddlers' conventions. But the important thing is that he writes a lot of songs about Florida and how it was to live in the hard, good old times. I give you Don Grooms of Gainesville. And the fabulous bass player is Tim DeMass.
Right. Thank you. Hi, folks. Everybody dry?
It's been wet. Haven't you wanted to have been singing I Saw the Light all day long? Isn't it glorious?
I was going to say welcome to Wet Springs. Well, I was working. Wait a minute. Find it right. I was working my way across the country, finding folks who'd gone back to the land. I'd say all I can do is sing my songs for you and eat dinner with you when I can. And I found a Georgia sharecropper. He'd never seen me before. He says all we got's potatoes and possum, but there's always enough for one more. I said there's something that I ought to tell you. I don't eat possum a lot. But he said possum meat is not that hard to eat when possum is all you have got. I swapped songs with a Louisiana Cajun on the banks of a little bayou. He says all we got's crawfish and gator, but it sure makes a mighty fine stew. I said there's something that I ought to tell you. I don't eat alligator a lot. But he said gator meat is not that hard to eat when gator is all you have got. Then I sat with a Seminole Indian, watching deer meat rot in the sun. He said we don't have a whole lot to offer, but you can share it with us when it's done. I said there's something that I ought to tell you. I don't eat rotten deer meat a lot. But he said rotten meat is not that hard to eat when that's the only thing you have got. Now I've got my own little family, and every night when the sun comes in, I never ask them what they got for dinner. I just sit down and shovel it in. 'Cause I'll eat most anything you got to offer. I'll even tell you snakes and snails are fine. Everybody draws the line somewhere, and liver is where I draw mine. 'Cause I've been all over this country, and I'll eat most anything you have got. But please don't invite me to dinner if liver's what you got in your pot. Thank you, fellow liver lovers. I bet you don't like squash either. Over in Gainesville, there used to be a man by the name of Ray Brannan who had a bicycle shop over on University Avenue. Thousands of bicycles in various stages of disrepair. And he loved dogs, and he'd have 35 or 40 of them at a time. And he was afraid they'd get run over on University Avenue, so he kept them locked up on the second floor of the house. And after a while, it got pretty ripe up there, you know. But they decided he was a health hazard and carted him off to a funny farm, and it offended me. Like Dirty Dan, I believe you ought to be able to live the way you want to. And as long as you don't invite people into your house, you know, then you can tell them to stay out.
Say hallelujah.
Little shopping center over there in Gainesville now. We got another shopping center, got another department store, and Dirty Dan the bicycle man don't have a home no more. We used to sit through his place for hours, never knowing what we'd find there. He'd sit with his arm around a half-blind dog and never seem to care, 'cause he had his junk around him where he wanted it to be. He'd sell you an old bicycle part, or he'd give it to you for free. But we got another shopping center, we got another department store, and Dirty Dan the bicycle man don't have a home no more. And every time he buried, when one of his dogs would get so old, it would lay right down and die. He'd bury it somewhere in the yard, and it would always be close by. And every time he buried, one of his friends told him to take his ease. Said, as long as God's in his heaven above, you're gonna rest in peace. But we got another shopping center, we got another department store, And Dirty Dan the bicycle man don't have a home no more. When a rich man said you'll have to go, Dan could not keep from crying. He said, when your bulldozers come, what'll happen to these dogs of mine? But they put Dirty Dan on a funny farm, chopped trees off at the stump, bulldozed up every one of his dogs and hauled him to the city dump. 'Cause love of money is stronger than love of man. If you don't believe what I say, just ask Dirty Dan the bicycle man about the price he had to pay for another shopping center, another department store. And Dirty Dan the bicycle man can't come home no more. We got another shopping center, Lord, we got another department store. And Dirty Dan the bicycle man can't come home no more. I gather some of you have been in Dirty Dan's bicycle shop from time to time, yeah? Last I heard, he did die in a mental institution up in Tennessee. I hope not, but we're all a little bit crazy anyway, aren't we? Here's a song I was asked to do and I was asked not to do. I'll do it. It's about a man who lived about 15 miles over here in Live Oak. Had a wife named Ruby McCollum, and one day she walked in and shot to death the Democratic candidate for governor of Florida. Now, she's an interesting story, and the man who wrote a book about it is still under contempt citation in the state of Florida. But he was back in Jacksonville last week and didn't seem too worried. First time since 1953 he came back to Florida. But I'm not too interested in Ruby McCollum. I'm interested in her husband. He was a gray-eyed black man. And at the end, when he saw he couldn't get out of trouble, he pulled an old Indian trick. And my Cherokee folks up in North Carolina know about that. When you reach a point where it's time to get out, you just lay down and die. So Belita Sam, who was the first man to register for a federal gambling license in Florida, that's him. It's the story of Belita Sam. Well, a man who ran the numbers in Florida in 53 was a gray-eyed black man named McCollum and his pretty wife, Ruby. Now, Ruby had a problem, said she also had a kid by a white doctor in Live Oak who would like to keep it hid. Belita Sam, you gambling man, couldn't handle what was going down. Played his final numbers, but nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Belita Sam. Then one Sunday morning, Ruby couldn't take it no more. She shot Dr. Leroy Adams, left him dying on the floor. Sam knew when they came for Ruby, they'd take him if they could. So he filled a suitcase with money, and he left Live Oak for good. Belita Sam, you gambling man, couldn't handle what was going down. He played his final numbers, but nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Belita Sam. Now Sam went home to Ocala, Ruby went to jail, charged with first-degree murder, they wouldn't let her out on bail. Sam never knew what happened, he didn't know she went insane, 'cause he went home to Ocala, played his final numbers game. Belita Sam, you gambling man, couldn't handle what was going down. He played his final numbers, but nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Belita Sam. Nobody knows what happened, how it came to be, 'Cause Sam went to the graveyard and Ruby went to Chattahoochee. Sam did not use a pistol, and here's the reason why. Said when there is nothing left to do, you gotta lay down and die. Melita, Sam, you gambling man, couldn't handle what was going down. He played his final numbers, but nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Melita, Sam. That gray-eyed black man, Melita, Sam. Thank you very much. And since I haven't been shot yet, I guess everything's all right. Listen, I would like to bring up on stage one of the finest banjo pickers within 50 feet of the stage. One of the most adequate banjo pickers I know, Mr. Marty Schumann from Gainesville. Marty?
We're going to play in D. You can choose any key you like.
Do you folks know Marty? Would you like to know Marty? Do you even care?
Say hello, Marty.
His mother likes him. She ran out from under the house and barked at me one day when I brought him home. I know she likes him. I got a long distance call from Carolina. Said there's big things happening in the hills. They're developing old Lookout Mountain just so I can get away from the city ills. Wouldn't I like to invest in the future? Wouldn't I really like to settle down in a rustic cottage in the mountains, far from the confusions of a town? Well, they are selling quarter-acre home sites. Nothing down, no payment for a year. If I want the deluxe plan, I just send them 15 grand. Then I can be a full-fledged mountaineer. And I says, get your greedy hands off of my mountains. Go back to Miami or to hell. Cause you're screwing up the hills of Carolina, the ones that I have known and loved so well. He says, does that mean you don't want in the project? Could you recommend uncles or some aunts? I says, if I could have it done, my friend, I'd call the Pentagon, have them drop an A-bomb in your pants, and then you'd never be able to have children. You'd be impotent and sterile. And if I could, I would, I'd get rid of you for good. But the punishment would be just too mild. He says, now wouldn't you like to think it over? Then perhaps you'd sign on the dotted line. Then he had the gall to ask me to pay for the call while he rapes the hills of Carolina. Martin. Says, get your greedy hands off of my mountains. Go back to the animal shelter you came from. Cause you're making of the hills of Carolina what the hills of California have become. He says, now wouldn't you like to think it over? Then perhaps you'd sign on the dotted line. Then he had the gall to ask me to pay for the call
while he rapes the hills of Caroline. While he rapes the hills of Caroline.
Well, glad to see you're not one of the culprits who's developed all those quarter-acre home sites. All you see is a wide array of Jim Walter vacation homes. I got a place where he can go to. Here's a song we did Friday night, and most of you weren't here then, so we're going to do it again. I live over in Gainesville now. I used to live up around Cherokee, but so many Florida people moved up there, decided to come down here and visit my state capital. See Anita Bryant, you know, in Tallahassee. All those strange people who live down in Miami that she's been fighting. But I went over to, see, the train does not stop in Gainesville anymore. It stops in Waldo. So I went over there one day to catch a train to Miami, and they said it don't stop in Waldo anymore. So I got highly annoyed and went home, wrote a song entitled The Orange Blossom Special Don't Stop in Waldo Anymore. And just a couple days later, they restored service to Waldo. Now they're talking about disrupting it again. I may have to go over to the depot and sing the song. This is called The Orange Blossom Special Don't Stop in Waldo Anymore. Well, the greatest train that ever run down American railroad track was the Orange Blossom Special, bringing my baby back. From New York to Miami, you could hear her driving roll. But the Orange Blossom Special don't stop in Waldo anymore. She hauled oranges and she hauled people down that seaboard line. From 10 miles away back in the swamp, you could hear her whistle whine. See your old smokestack ablaze and watch them big steel drivers roll. But the Orange Blossom Special don't stop in Waldo anymore. Well, people line the railroad tracks to watch the OBS go by. She made grown men shiver and little babies cry. She shook the ground around small towns 50 years ago. But the Orange Blossom Special don't stop in Waldo anymore. She took a lot of people from all these Florida towns to the sights of New York City. She was the finest train around. But now the Amtrak's got her, she's diesel to the core. And the Orange Blossom Special won't stop in Waldo anymore. Welcome, Mr. Will McLean, to the stage. Yonder coming down that railroad track. Yeah, look yonder coming down that railroad track. It's that Orange Blossom Special, bringing my baby back. Get some sand in my shoes. Yeah, I'm going down to Florida. Gonna get some sand in my
official and lose these New Yorkers. Rambling in the fastest train on that line. Yeah, talk about you rambling in the fastest train on that line. She's that orange blossom special rolling down the seaboard. The greatest train that ever run down American railroad track was the Orange Blossom Special, bringing the baby back from New York to Miami. You could hear her whistle, but the Orange Blossom Special don't stop in Waldo anymore. No, the Orange Blossom Special don't stop in Waldo anymore.
There's a friend of all Florida musicians who lives over in Gainesville. His name is Bill Kohler. He and his wife Barbara run Strictly Music. But there was another fellow named George Kohler who bought an old hearse. And I asked him if that was his, and he says, no, that's a hearse of a different Kohler. Well, gee whiz. Look at all them Indian fighters. Wow.
That's why I'm supposed to tell the jokes, Don.
Oh. Little commercial. Dale and Will and Dale Crowder, Will McLean, and Gamble Rogers can be signing records up here directly after the show. Here's a song most closely identified with Will McLean. Those of you, do you know Will McLean, by the way? Mr. Flower. If you've admired Tim DeMass on the bass, he is one of the most bass players ever to come out of Wooster, Ohio. This is one of my favorite songs that Will wrote, entitled Hold Back the Waters of Lake Okeechobee. Bang on a guitar like I do, it goes out of tune. What's enough? Okay, ready, Will? Thank you.
was in the late 20s that there came a great flood. Drowned 4,000, their graves was the mud. There was nothing could withstand that great tidal wave. Now the ghosts of the vanished still cry from the grave.
Everybody.
Lord, hold back the waters of Lake Okeechobee, for Lake Okeechobee's blue waters are cold. When the wild winds are blowing across Okeechobee, they're calling and seeking for other poor souls. Seminoles left there in haste and with speed. Their wise words of warning were given no heed. When the waters receded, great God, what a sight. Men, women, and children burn black as the night. Lord, hold back the waters of Lake Okeechobee, for Lake Okeechobee's blue waters are cold. When the wild winds are rolling across Okeechobee, they're calling and seeking for other poor souls. Lake Okeechobee blue waters are cold. Now Lake Okeechobee is come answer me. The land all around it is fertile and green, but the people get fearful when the wild winds do roam. They look at the earth dead, think of their home. Lord, hold back the waters of Lake Okeechobee, for Lake Okeechobee's blue waters are cold. When the wild winds are blowing across Okeechobee, they're calling and seeking for other poor souls. Lord, Lake Okeechobee's blue waters are cold.
One more time.
Lord, hold back the waters of Lake Okeechobee, for Lake Okeechobee's blue waters are cold. When the wild winds are blowing across Okeechobee, they're calling and seeking for other poor souls. Lord, Lake Okeechobee, blue waters are cold.
Thank you very much.
He mentioned the fact that Gamble will be signing his first record up at Strictly Music. And let's see, who's this? I'm sure that Dale Crider will be too. Pioneer Ethics and George Heaps Nelson. And who knows, maybe somebody else. But right now, let me turn a page, please. And call to the stage one of our favorites and an important singer, Dale Crider, with his partner, Linda Bittner, from Gainesville.
Thank you. We'd like to sing you the title song of that album, Pioneer Ethics. Kind of presents a 200-year history of Florida and hopefully speaks to a 200-year future. We're all here and sitting here on the Suwannee 200 years ago from now.
America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Now with little more than the rifle, the axe and the Bible, with the great amount of sweat and blood and tears, our forefathers conquered the wilderness, blazed a trail that has prevailed down through the years. As they took the land away from nature's tenants, they left the Indian spirits in the spoil. With the attitude called the pioneer ethic, we have burned a lot of our bridges, and now the troubles boil. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And I could just see my great-grandfather standing up there proud. Today we all can stand and sing about those purple mountains' majesty, about the fruited plains. But did that mean that all wetlands would be drained and all the wilderness cleared and farmed? Remember that in those early days we were just struggling pioneers born, and folks would die to meet material needs, so they gave us this fattest land on earth. So the pioneer ethic was made, my friend, to give a frontier America its birth. But priorities and human needs can change, and ours have in the last 200 years. Now the questions of the future hang, and they bring forth the cry of bloody tears. Is this the way to delay doomsday? Just machines, just technical cure. I'm not aware that we were all aware when, but we've all been warned for sure. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from
sea to shining sea. From sea to shining sea.
Thank you. Thank you. This year, the Florida legislature passed an act called the Endangered and Threatened Species Act. It set up an educational program and a research program on those species which we're about to eliminate from the state of Florida. Those species that were here when Native Americans were here before white men arrived. We're traveling around the state doing television and radio programs trying to celebrate those species that we're about to eliminate, talking about, from a biological standpoint, how we can behave and not step so much on those species that perhaps share Florida with us and perhaps claim it just about as much as we do. Those species, like the bald eagle, our national symbol, flying through polluted air. Those things like the crocodile, which only survives in a very remote part of Florida. Those things like the manatee, the green turtle, the Everglades kite, the otter. We could go on and on, because Florida has more endangered species than any other state. But mind you, the Florida legislature took note of this, and they passed this act, and it's the first one that's been passed in all of the 50 states. And hopefully you will become more conscious of those species that are about to be eliminated from this sunshine state. We'd like to meet you as we travel around the state and create in you a better awareness for the way that you can discipline yourself when coming in contact with another species that perhaps possess those same needs and requirements in this Florida soil as we do ourselves. We'd like to sing a song that speaks to growth, speaks to population growth here in this state and all of the problems it's caused. This is a song that perhaps we ought to publicize more, because I think gospel snakes can perhaps save a great deal of what we love about Florida. All we got to do is publicize those snakes a little bit more, and we won't have quite so many people flocking across the Georgia line. This thing is called Gospel Snakes. It's one of the songs on our album. Down in those swamps in Florida sand, where the alligator tends the land, there lived a man named Jacob Job, and he was the toughest on the Swanee globe. Well, he feared not God or cared for man, except his wild and wicked clan. And there were six boys, big and bad, and they followed right behind their dad. There were six girls, big boxing gals. They danced a prolix with their pals. They danced and tippled at the stills, and sometimes tippled at the stills. Then one day an awful rattlesnake hit the oldest boy, big wicked Jake. Through his veins a poison flew. He's bound to die, what are we gonna do? They sent a runner into town in haste to fetch a parson down. And an Indian from Osceola's clan was as good as any in the land, 'cause he prayed a wondrous, curious prayer. He used words both rich and rare, and whether heaven it reached or not, on earth it surely hit the spot. And he said, "Oh God, we thank thee for this here snake that thou hast sent to bid old Jake to fetch him down from his high horse and lead him to the Savior's cross. Oh God, he never would repent until this here blessed snake was sent, and he wouldn't mind his wicked way until kind providence came today. Now, oh God, the great I am, please send a nuttin' to bite old Sam. And Chick and John, the worst of rakes, oh God, we need more rattlesnakes. Send chicken snakes to bite the gals and all their dancing wicked pals. And there's Bob Job, she needs one too. Perhaps a cotton mouth would do. Please send the biggest on the globe to bite old daddy Jacob Job. And now, oh God, before too late, please hurry up these here gospel snakes and save this old sunshine state. We ask it all for Jesus' sake." Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to sing one now for you that I didn't write, and Dale didn't write, and I'm not even sure who wrote, but it's a kind of an old favorite of mine and probably many of yours. It's called The Grandfather's Clock, and if you know it and like to sing along, I'd like you to sing with me. And I'd like to dedicate this to a really hard-working lady that's working around here with a clipboard and a brown top. Her name is Barbara, and she's holding this thing together as well as everybody else. Oh, my grandfather's clock was...